The Daily Douchebag Pledge.
Two douchebags and a microphone pledge. I, Joe or Jane listener, hereby promise to download every show. I, Joe or Jane listener, hereby promise to grab family members' phones and download the show from there. I, Joe or Jane listener, hereby promise to go to public computers and download the show from there. I, Joe or Jane listener, hereby promise to laugh at all the unfunny jokes. I, Joe or Jane listener, hereby promise to lie to all my friends and tell them how good the show is. And finally, I, Joe or Jane listener, promise to visit Montrose, Missouri to take advantage of the power plant, campgrounds, and junkyard all within its quarter mile radius.
Here at Two Douchebags and a Microphone, we don't stand behind our journalistic integrity. Go ahead and assume we got the story wrong. At least we admit it. Not like all those other guys, we can and will lie if it makes the story better.
Two douchebags and a microphone.
We talk and listen.
And now, Deep Thoughts with Mark.
If I were floating in outer space, if I was to paddle my arms and legs, would I float faster? I may never know.
Portman, Oregon, you guys love us and we love you back. Thank you for listening. Two Douchebags and Microphone salute you.
Two Douchebags and Microphone, in an effort to keep everything fresh, we offer you first world problems.
I can't believe the coffee grinders broke at the big box store. There's no way I can be expected to grind my coffee beans every damn morning.
No bat light here. These idiots just show up and hope for the best.
Two douchebags and a microphone, raw and uncensored. See Behind the Smoke Show. Watch as the douchebags get stung by a swarm of bees. Enjoy one of many coffee houses ordering our heroes out. Watch Mark revisit Clinton, Missouri to claim his innocence for all the mad shitter accusations.
I'm not the mad shitter.
Act now and get both high-quality DVD sets and a free douchebag calendar. Mark off the day with a douchebag looking at you. Supplies are limited, so act now.
Two douchebags and a microphone. I'm Mark.
And I am Rob.
So, Rob, how you doing tonight?
I am actually doing pretty good, I think. I don't know. It's a weird time in my life, just saying.
Okay. Good. Well,
I'm doing good other than battling the heat like everybody else.
Oh, yeah. Yep. It is officially nut gravy season.
My big saw's been down and I got like three fans around it. Little saw, the only saw I can use, is on the other side of the big garage door. There's no electric.
So your big saw's down again?
Other than 220 to run the saw.
Okay.
Yeah, my big saw's been down it'll be up and going tomorrow. We got the parts. The foreman's going to go in, put them on, and I'm going to button everything up, put the belts on, tighten them, bolt the motor down, type stuff.
Yeah, very cool. All right. Good.
I haven't been able to cut many. My little saw only goes up to a 45-degree angle.
Mm. So you can't make all the parts that you need.
Trailers are at least a 60-degree angle.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I ain't able to cut them. But I'm doing what I can, and it'll be up tomorrow, and then it's time to bust my nuts some more.
Yeah, and catch up with what you left off. Wow. Okay.
Well, no. I've been doing some of it. I've been doing some. It's just certain things.
Certain parts you can't make. Yeah, I get it.
Angle, yep. You know.
Okay. Well,
I just got back from this place in the city market called Enzo, and it was kind of like a late Father's Day gift deal, and it's very good. Man, the food was so good there.
Cool.
Yeah, it's a Mediterranean Italian. Well, I know Italy's in the Mediterranean, but it's kind of like a Italian slash Greek place. They have a little bit of both. With a little twist of some other things. It's really good. And they have a really good menu there. And I had the tortellini with the bolognese. Let's see. Or however you call it. Some people call it different things. But anyhow, the sauce with meat in it. Okay? The red sauce with meat in it. So, anyhow, that was really good. The feta dip. They have this spicy feta dip that's just out of this world. They give grilled pita with it, and you take the pita and dip it in there. Oh, it was just fantastic. They had the most fantastic Greek salad there. It doesn't contain any lettuce, so anyone that knows what a real Greek salad is, it doesn't have any lettuce. It has olives, it has onions, it has tomatoes, but this was like at no lettuce, and it was swimming in this delicious vinegar, olive oil mixture that they do. It's very good. And on top of that, I wanted to get a Yuengling, right? Well, they didn't have Yuengling, but they had hams, tall boys, at this place.
Oh, dude!
Yeah! I had a hams tall boy, and it was fantastic.
Actually, I was in Save-A-Lot the other day down here,
mm-hmm.
and they have like 12 packs of hams.
Yeah, hams is making a little bit of a comeback. They're doing their retro label.
I was thinking about buying one just for nostalgia, like we talk about, you know?
How you remember it is how it tastes now. It tastes exactly like it did then. I would bet any amount of money. It has that very distinct taste. It was fantastic. And they're doing really well again because they have the old 1960s logo with the trees on it. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, it has a really old logo. And yeah, so anyhow, it was really good. And anyhow, it was a very good present, and we enjoyed it. Got back, I don't know, about 30 minutes ago. Sat outside and watched the sun almost set. I mean, it still hasn't set, but watching the sun go down is beautiful. Because right now, the weather in the shade isn't too bad. Earlier, it was horrible, but tonight, it wasn't too bad.
Oh, yeah.
So anyhow, okay, so starting off, not making fun of Fordyce, Arkansas. It had a shooter at a store that killed 3 people and injured many more. But the thing is, the ironic thing is, the store was called the Mad Butcher. I'm not kidding you.
Wow.
Yeah. Sorry, but, you know, it's a fitting name, right? I mean, I was just like, when they showed the front of the store and it said the Mad Butcher, I'm like, oh gosh. Does anyone else see the irony in that? I mean, you know, not making fun of, but interesting. So, anyhow, in the ironic weird department, the Vogue magazine in Germany selected a 102-year-old Holocaust survivor for its cover. Probably a cool thing, but the timing I find weird, right, Rob? You know, here we are 80-some years later, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and suddenly Vogue magazine comes out with a 102-year-old Jewish Holocaust survivor and puts her as the lead model on the front of their magazine. You know, I mean, it's great that they did it, but I just don't get the timing. I mean, all of a sudden they just like, you know what I mean? I think it's kind of odd. So anyhow, I'm thinking at this point, you know, maybe a gift card to all the Jewish people would be the same, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think most would love to have a free steak on Germany, don't you think?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, you know, definitely. So wouldn't you think that Israel has a Texas Roadhouse or a Longhorn? Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's my answer. Send them all a gift card. Give them a free steak. Hey, sorry about that whole thing. We got rid of that bastard. He's dead now. We don't think like that anymore. Not making fun of the Holocaust, but I don't know. I just found this 102-year-old Holocaust survivor kind of odd that here we are 80 years removed and they put her on the cover of Vogue magazine in Germany. Okay, glad they did it, but I just find it odd. What do you think, Rob? You think it's better late than never, or you think, well, why now?
Yeah, I'm thinking, like, why now?
Yeah, I too
late than ever.
Too little, too late? I don't know.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, you know, what are the Jewish people supposed to do now? To turn around and go, oh, hey! Okay, thanks, yeah. Man. Yeah, yeah, forget about that whole deal there, you know.
And not putting Jewish down. I mean,
No.
Jewish,
this is not making fun of.
Yeah.
This is not making fun of at all. The Holocaust
was horrible. I know.
Yeah, and so I don't know. I just
want everybody else clear of that, so we don't lose listeners.
Yeah, that's right. So
we're gaining. Let's keep it that way.
Yeah, we're gaining by a lot. Jeez.
We are. So, and I'm going to talk about a new listener here in a little bit.
Okay, sounds good. Okay, so the new Reddit debate. Is can an employee send an email to their boss using an emoji? You know, using an emoji like a happy face or something?
I personally would think that would be very, very
uncomfortable. Unprofessional, yes. So do I, yeah. But a lot of people say it's perfectly fine. So it's kind of 50-50 of the people that think it's fine to do it. And between the people that think, no, it is really in bad taste and you should never do it. So, you know, I mean...
I'll tell you what, work for a country boy and see what he thinks about it.
He smashed a computer screen. So, okay. You know, I would love to send an emoji to all my idiotic fuckhead bosses at my old job, but I couldn't find a hairy asshole emoji. So, I couldn't do it.
I am working on my list.
Oh, good.
I've been a little distracted lately.
That's okay, because I lost my list and I got to come up with a new one. I cannot find it. I was so pissed. I had these treasured ones that I can't.
Good. That might give me a chance to slide in on a couple of people we've talked about.
Yeah.
You probably forgot about them.
No. Well, I had them written down, and now I don't. I think I threw them away. Every now and then, I do a mass of getting rid of my old papers day.
Yeah.
I think I accidentally got them in the old paper bin when I should have kept them. So anyhow, I got to come up with new ones. So a Southwest. Airplane flew over houses and was so low that the FAA is checking into it. You know, I mean, maybe it's being trailed by a Korean ship balloon, right? That's my guess.
Yeah, probably had heat seeking in it or something.
Yeah, nobody wants shit all over their luggage, right?
Right.
Yeah, great job, Captain, keeping everybody shit-free on that plane. So who cares if you almost tore off a couple of chimneys and almost hit a couple of microwave towers? You saved the people from shit. We love you. Thank you, Southwest pilot, who's unidentified at this time. So, all right. So, let's see. After that, there was this lady in Florida. A woman was arrested. She was stealing an ambulance, sending several of Fort Myers' finest on a high-speed chase. Okay, but I think I can figure out. In Florida, number one, Florida, yes. But number two, have you ever tried to catch an Uber or a cab in Fort Myers?
No.
It's almost impossible. So I think
she... I've been in Florida since I was 7 years old.
Oh, okay. Well,
maybe eight.
it's almost impossible during certain times of the day to catch a cab there or an Uber because they're all busy. There's so many people there that they just don't have enough people doing it. So you either have to wait for an hour or just start hoofing it like we did. It was New Year's Eve night, 2021, I believe, and we were down in Fort Lauderdale. Not thinking about it, we're at Lauderdale at sea. Having a couple of drinks, having a good time, New Year's Eve, everybody partying. And then it's like, okay, New Year's went off. Yay, all right, woo-woo, yeah, woo-woo. So then, okay, well, let's go catch an Uber or a cab. No, none. None available. It was like, oh, shit, what do we do? So we walked about 2 miles back to the resort because there's no cabs or Ubers. And we even talked to a couple people on the way walk, and they're like, oh, yeah, we expected this. We expected this. So I'm like, okay, so anyhow, you know, maybe the chick couldn't get an Uber, right? Maybe that's why she stole the ambulance, right? Maybe? Yeah. Possibly? Yeah. So, and then this brings me back to Fort Lauderdale at Ocean Sky Hotel that I was trying to get an Uber to the hotel, right? And I didn't know this, but every time they would go a block down and all of a sudden my Uber or my Lyft would disappear. I'm like, man, this is fucked up. They're on their way and it says 1 minute and then all of a sudden they're gone. Then I figured out what happened. People were down at the next block intercepting everybody's Ubers. They didn't call them. They just said, hey, stop. Hey, take me. And these guys, because they're freelance, would stop and pick them up. And they give them a little extra money, therefore getting my Uber that I waited 20 minutes for. Oh, I was so pissed. So
did you report that?
Yes, but on an Uber, there's nothing they can do. On a Lyft, there's nothing they can do. In a cab, they can do something about it. And this is what I found out. We're in New Orleans. I don't know. This may be 12 years ago or something. We were staying at the JW Marriott, which is a very nice hotel. We got a really good deal on it, okay? We don't normally stay there. So anyhow, we're there, and we order a cab. We're going to go to this barbecue place on the Mississippi River. It's like a little shack. They've been flooded out several times, but all they do is clear the mud out and open it back up in a couple of days, and it's really good barbecue. So I know my way around New Orleans really well because I've been there so many times. So they hail a cab for me. What you do is you wait inside the lobby there, and the Marriott, they call the cab for you, right? So anyhow, the cab comes up, and he picks us up, and he started running us through the French Market, which I know is wrong. And I told him several times, I go, yeah, this is over here on the Mississippi, over there off of Reglan or something. I forgot the name of Jefferson, maybe. Anyhow, one of those streets, I knew exactly where it was at. And I go, are you going to this barbecue? I said, yeah. And then he started turning the other way again. I was like, you know what? I go, hey, we want to go to the French Market. Just drop us off. So then we hailed another one from the French Market, okay? So when I got back to JW Marriott, I told them, and they were embarrassed. They said, we called this guy for you? Yes. And so, anyhow, that evening, a guy comes up to our room, knocking on the door, with these free platters of really nice, delicious food. And he goes, we're very sorry for the inconvenience earlier. We reported the guy. He's never going to do anything for us again. By the way, your two-night stay here is complimentary. And then 2 weeks later, when I was at home, I got a gift voucher for two more free days for any JW Marriott in the country. That's how embarrassed they were.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I'm just like, wow, I hope I get a horrible cab again from one. You know, it's like, man, I can use all this free shit. Oh, and everything that we bought from the mini bar was free that night, too. They comped us. So, anyhow, I'm not unhappy with JW Marriott. They had no idea this guy was a crackpot. Or maybe this guy just didn't know where he was going. I don't know. But the fact is they stood behind it, and that guy's never working for him again. I don't know if he is a dumbass or a ripoff, but he's not working for him again. And we got all the free stuff. So, anyhow, let's see. So, male cicadas are responsible for all the horribly loud noises coming from the trees all over America, right?
Yeah.
The male cicada, do what?
It's quieted down. Yeah, you hardly ever hear one now.
Now they're about gone. The male cicada makes this noise as a mating call.
Yep.
Humans, if you scream at your mate for sex and you end up in an episode of Cops, right? You can't do that. Cicadas can. So, there you go, cicadas.
It depends on who you're with.
It depends on where you're at, too.
Just saying.
So, you know, there you go. Cicadas are smarter than humans. So,
you forget. You're married, I'm single.
Okay. You know what? You're right. Okay. A whole different ballgame. You're right. Okay. So, now in the trash-on-trash department in Florida, again, a McDonald's employee is accused of shooting at customers at a drive-thru fight. 22-year-old Chassie Gardner is being charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. You see, when I saw a McDonald's employee was being charged, I automatically thought he or she made someone drink their own, you know, their black coffee. But no, yeah, that wasn't that. I think being shot at could be the lesser of the evils here. I think I'd rather be shot at than drinking their black coffee. What do you think, Rob?
Yeah, I would say so.
Their black coffee.
You know, I could take that story and lead into one. It's amazing how we do this. I have another story about something else where an employee did some injuries, and he was well known.
Okay, you got to pull it out. Okay, then I'll finish this, and then we can go straight into that. Does that sound good?
Okay, we'll go into that one.
Okay.
I had everyone pulled up. Okay, I'll go into that one.
You know, I bet you they didn't even temporarily close the store. I can see it now. There'll be 1275, please drive through the back door and knock loudly. Right?
Yep.
Yeah, that's the way it would be. Went outside at dusk the other night when I noticed a large, gray-looking cloud coming my way. Well, it was a shit ton of mosquitoes, Rob. I ran indoors, felt myself with deep woods off and rappel, and went back outside, and then I came up with a fantastic idea. I have a propane torch in the garage, so I grabbed that bitch and went out, and that gray cloud came trotting towards me, and I just lit those bitches up. I just lit them up, Rob. I zapped every one of those fuckers. They just burned up into nothing. So, my suggestion is, if you see that gray cloud coming at you and mosquitoes at about this time right now, at about dusk, go get it. If you have a propane torch, go get that sumbitch, light it, and just start nailing those fuckers. I mean, they just disintegrate in little balls of flame. It was so fun. So, and now, finally, in the Mark is an Idiot department, I told you about the Royals tickets that I bought, right?
Yeah, you did.
Okay, well, I'm a dumb shit. Why in the world would I book an afternoon game? So, the forecast was going to be 96, but actually I turned out being a little bit smarter than I thought. You know, Topher and I was going to be reduced to a puddle of salt water, but they changed the forecast. It's supposed to be 88 degrees tomorrow and lower humidity, so we're going to be fine. So I can't call myself a stupid ass anymore. I somehow did a good thing in reverse. I backed up into a good deal somehow. So,
well, I think I heard something about some rain. Check the forecast.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to rain tonight. There's a front coming through. So anyhow, when I seen the
would bring down the humidity.
Yeah. So when I saw the forecast.
Oh, shit. All the rain for us right now are off to the east of us.
To the east, not to the west. Well, you're not going to get that.
Yeah, it's off to.
Ours
is hitting us in the morning.
Ours is supposed to.
In the morning.
Yeah, ours is coming through about maybe, I don't know, 12, 1, 2. And it's going to be coming from Nebraska and Iowa area and coming down like that in a cold front fashion. So,
it looks like our hardest stuff is going to be like from 5 to 8 in the morning.
Okay, well, you guys are getting them slightly later than we are. So, anyhow, I mean...
let's get out of that and let me get back to my stuff.
Okay. Go. I'm going to go ahead and end this. I got more on the first third, but I've got like a couple of pages. So let's just go ahead and stop that right now, and we're going to go into something you want to talk about, Rob.
Okay, well, you were talking about that employee.
Mm-hmm.
I have a story that I just came up with today.
Okay.
A former WWE and WCW star was arrested after stabbing man in gas station fight.
Oh, okay.
And this is what caught my... Because I seen the picture, I knew who it was.
Mm-hmm.
And then I opened it up and read the story. Oh, my God. All right. For all... popularity of professional wrestling and all the household names that have come out of the world, it's not a career that often leads to athletes retiring in laps of luxury, though expectations do exist. Case in point, former pro wrestling champion Charles Skaggs, who famously wrestled in the WCW and the WWE under the monikers Too Cold Scorpio.
Okay.
And Flash Funk. I know. I love this guy. I love. He was awesome in the ring. He was.
Okay.
Has been working at a gas station truck stop in Missouri, where he was recently arrested for stabbing another man during a dispute that turned violent.
Okay.
The incident in question took place in the early morning hours of Saturday, June 15th, at a Love's Travel stop located in Kansas City, Missouri.
I love Love's. I said I love Love's. Great travel stop.
Yes. Where Skaggs was reportedly working as a security guard, according to TMZ. The former WCW and ECW tag team champion was arrested for a pair of felonies. One count of first degree assault and one count of armed criminal action. After a man walked into the gas station and Skaggs claimed lit up a cigarette.
And this was in Kansas City?
Yeah, that's what it says. It's one of the Loves in Kansas City. It was on last Saturday, June 15th.
Okay.
Hey, do what we tell everybody else. Look it up.
Yeah, you're right. I'm just surprised I didn't hear anything, nothing about it on the local news.
No, seriously. I just ran across this today.
It's being kept low. I don't know why.
Skaggs claimed he told the man that smoking inside wasn't allowed, and then says the guy did not react very kindly and used a couple of four-letter words when questioning what the guard was going to do about it.
Uh-huh.
The former athlete told cops the man threatened him and that things turned more physical once they were both outside the store.
Wow.
At this point, Dash claims the man started to fight him and that during their grappling, the wrestling vet removed a knife from his pocket and used it to stab the man, claiming it was done out of self-defense. That wasn't the end of it, however. As Skaggs claimed, he had to stab the man a few more times after he continued to struggle.
Okay.
Yeah, and it goes into the stabbing victim. At a point when the hospitalized stabbing victim was able to communicate better, investigators on the case say he told him Charles Skaggs was the more aggressive party in the confrontation.
Uh-huh.
He says while he thought he had put his cigarette out before entering the Love store, it's possible that it was still lit, but says he definitely did not light up inside the establishment. So,
okay. I'm just amazed that nobody.
So he said, she said.
Yeah, yeah. Which usually garners a lot of screen time. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, but Too Cold Scorpio, man, I want him. And I did not. I mean, I didn't know he knew Kansas City.
I didn't either.
And here he is working at a Love's truck stop as a security guard.
Okay. All right.
Let me hear it.
Yeah. Hey, Rob.
Yes.
I really didn't give a fuck before I had a Red Bull. And now I don't give a flying fuck after I had a Red Bull.
Did you just drink a Red Bull?
No. Do you get it? Red Bull gives you wings?
Okay. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I was just wondering because I wanted to know how the rest of the show was going to go.
Okay. No. That's fine. All right. We got to take our first break. We're way late, but that's no surprise, is it?
Let's do it.
And I've got a couple of featured emails that really stood out, and I love the questions. And so we'll be right back with those.
Sounds great.
Cool.
Have you ever wondered where something came about? Have you ever looked at something and said, I wonder what the origin of that is? Well, so have we. That's why we give you the origin of...
What is the origin of Mountain Dew? Tennessee bottlers Barney and Ally Hartman developed Mountain Dew as a mixer in the 1940s. Soft drinks were sold regionally in the 1930s, and the Hartmans had difficulty in Knoxville obtaining their preferred soda to mix with liquor, preferably whiskey, so the two developed their own, now known as Mountain Dew.
Our constant pursuit for a real knee slapper. It's strange insults from an alien. Real hilarity.
I envy everyone who hasn't met you.
Purdue, Canada. Thank you for listening. You guys are awesome. We love you guys. Two douchebags and microphones salute you.
Think about what's just happened. You don't know what to do. You don't know where to go. But we can tell you what you can eat.
We're in an apocalypse. You will probably need a good insecticide. Soybean, corn, and peppermint oil are some plant extracts that create powerful natural insecticides. They are some of nature's best organic and natural pesticides that, when combined, can make a far more superior weapon that growers can effectively use to improve their integrated pest management on their crops or on their person.
They used to call it Jump Olean until your mama got on it.
Next up, things overheard in hell.
Hurry up. Kim Jong-un is playing Santa at the mall again this year. Yay!
As much fun as an electric can opener to the scrotum, two douchebags and a microphone.
Two douchebags and microphone. I'm Mark.
And I am Rob.
Okay, we got like, I have like three featured emails here that just really stood out to me. And I got two of them yesterday and the other one I got a little bit ago. But these two are so good that I wanted them to be standout from all the other emails, right? So this one I got yesterday and it kind of floored me. Dude, I remember Fuckhammer. Now, Fuckhammer was that group.
Huh?
Fuckhammer. Okay.
Okay, yeah. I remember you telling the story.
Okay, I'll tell it real quick here. Okay, there was these two groups around Kansas City that played all over Westport, and they had their flyers everywhere. It was Trip Hammer and Sacred or Sacred with a K. And we were so tired of seeing them on every fucking light pole and everywhere.
Yeah.
So we came up with a fake band called Fuckhammer. And we came up with flyers.
Yeah, this guy remembers it.
So you put those flyers everywhere with that crazy looking band on it. We actually called some of the venues to see if they were playing. I remember Trip Hammer.
I hate to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
I see a look on his face when he heard that on our podcast.
Yeah, I know. And so I forgot. We put a band's image on there that we stole, but I'll go into that here in a minute. He said that crazy looking band, I forgot all about we did that. So he called some of the venues and everything.
I want to check out Statue of Limitations before you admit it.
Well, I don't remember the name of the band. And anyhow, let me explain it a little bit more. So anyhow, so this guy called the venues that we said we're playing at. There we weren't. I also remember Trip Hammer and Sacred as well. They really blew. I thought Trip Hammer was okay. Sacred was fair, but he didn't like him. Okay, he said, I actually found the podcast through kclocal.com. They had you in local entertainment, Bennett and Fairway.
Oh, wow.
kclocal.com. Yeah. I went
Thank
to
you.
Yeah, I went through it a little bit ago, and it's like just local stuff in KC. It was awesome. In the entertainment, there we are. You know, I have no idea. Bennett, thanks for reaching out. The website I will support, I have no idea how they found out about us. I mean, someone must have, like, called them up, I guess. I didn't even know these guys existed. Someone must have called them up and said, hey, here's some local entertainment or something. I think someone did us a solid, Rob. I think someone did us a solid and threw our name to a local website. And maybe that's why we're getting so many more listeners. I don't know. So.
Okay, well, look, yeah, like, our number one is N.A. and everybody's told us, now you stupid son bitches.
Remember the email I got? Yeah, the guy said, no, you dumbass. Those are from Kansas City. They just can't pinpoint where.
Yeah.
So, okay, let's say they are. Good. That's great. We should be.
Our number two ain't even in this country.
Oh, I know. And I have salutes to them.
I haven't looked in the past few days.
I have new thank yous to all our top markets. And then I have some thank yous almost to our top markets that surged and then fell back. So, anyhow, I got a little encouragement for them. So, the band on the flyer was the ugliest band I could find in the Musicians Wanted section of Metal Edge magazine. Wish I could remember their real name. It was a doozy, I'm sure. So, we went through a Metal Edge magazine. Remember they used to have that musicians looking for gigs or musicians looking for a bassist, musicians looking for a drummer, right? You remember that? Yeah. We took the ugliest band we could find in that section, took their image, and put them on the flyer as Fuckhammer. I forgot all about that. And to this day, I can't remember their name, and I'm sure they're not together anymore. I mean, this is fucking 1980 dickety fuck two, you know, something, or 87, 90, who knows. It was back in the day. And so we just picked the ugliest damn band we could find in Metal Edge and posted it with Fuckhammer, and those guys were supposed to be Fuckhammer. So, thank you, Bennett. And thank you, where is it now? KC Local. Thank you, KCLocal.com. Thank you for putting us on there, and thank you for supporting us.
You.
And go to KC Local, guys. Go to KC Local. They're great. So, hi, Opal. Hi, Jimmy. Hi, Ricky. Hi, everybody in Dodge City, Kansas. You guys got a bit coming your way. So,
I was going to ask you about that. And yes, hi, Grandma. Hi, Jimmy. And hi, Ricky. And hi, Dodge City.
Cool. Okay. The next email, Rob. And this is, I love this email. I love the first one, but this one's just weird. It's out of nowhere, and these are the emails that, like, really get me going. Mark and Rob, Jimmy Page playing guitar using a violin bow. Genius or noise? Rob, I'll let you go first.
Okay, repeat that.
Mark and Rob, Jimmy Page playing guitar using a violin bow. Genius or noise? You know, he did that on Song Remains the Same. He pulls out a violin bow.
No. That's got to be genius.
I disagree. Genius. I disagree. I thought it was noise. I thought it was fucking noise. I can't stand it.
I liked it.
That's cool. I mean, artist interpretation, man. You dug it. I thought it was noise. And this guy...
One thing we agreed upon from the get-go was, you have your opinion, I have mine. And sometimes we disagree, even though, 75, 80, 90% of the time.
We usually agree, yes.
Yeah, we're human.
Yes, and to me, I did not enjoy it. I thought it was noise, and I never did like it. And to me, I thought it was cheap just pulling out a violin bow and making a bunch of noises. It's like, why don't you...
I thought it fit well into the song.
Okay, it may have. Maybe it was just my interpretation of it and how I felt about it. I don't know.
No, it's not your instrument of choice either.
No, I've heard violin bows being played right, what I consider right on guitar. And to me, it just looked like Jimmy Page was all fucked out of it, just scribbling around with that bow and making as many sounds as he could.
He might have been. He might have been. I don't know. It just fit the song to me.
It's art, man. You know what? That's fine. I respect you, Rob. You got something out of it? That's fantastic. So I respect your point, and I wish I enjoyed it as much as you, but I don't. I always skip over that part. But, okay, cool. Isn't that a great email, though? He didn't give his name or nothing.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome.
And nor did he say whether he thought it was genius or noise. He didn't specify that either. No name or no conclusion for himself.
Right.
Okay, so whoever you are, send
me. Okay, well, what I want to know is email us back and give us your opinion since we put ours out there.
Yeah, whoever you are, when you hear this...
next time, leave your name. We won't mention you.
Oh, and speaking of this, our email is fucked up right now. I'm only getting part of the emails, and then whenever I try to send some of them out, they bounce back to me. I'm trying to get it figured out. So if you send an email and I don't get to it, I'm sorry if it's like one like this that will answer, not the general, hey, we love you guys stuff or anything, or we hate you. I'll get to it, and I'll at least reply, if not say something on the show about it. So, anyhow, I know my email screwed up, so I'm going to do what I can to try to figure it out and fix it. But like always, my biggest enemy is time. So, anyhow, and then finally, this last email... I love this one. And I think we might have even done a list, and you can maybe refresh my memory, Rob. Here it is. Mark and Rob, most underrated guitarist of the 80s generation. First and second. The two best.
Go ahead.
No, I'm saying the two. The two most underrated is what this guy is asking for.
Okay. Mine... is the lead guitarist of April Wine.
Ooh, that's a good one. He's excellent. He was excellent.
Yeah, it was on my list during our list shows that we were doing.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought we did something like that. Okay, I think that's a great pick.
No, that was bass. Okay, still, we've always agreed April Wine was an underrated band. To me, it doesn't matter whether it's bass, lead guitar, drums, singer, whatever, it all blended together. I've always been an April Wine fan. So.
Yep.
What's yours?
You didn't come up with a second one, did you?
I don't know. Aldo Nova's pretty up there.
I can't argue with that one, but Aldo Nova's a great pick.
Dude, everybody knows Fantasy, but you go and listen to that whole album and then go listen to stuff after that.
Yeah.
He's amazing.
I agree.
The only thing he gets credit for is Fantasy.
No, I know. He had another hit, Monkey on Your Back, but it didn't sell nearly as much.
That was on the same album.
One of the problems with Aldo Nova is he did a lot of studio work, so he didn't have a lot of time for his solo career. You know, he's appeared on all different kinds of albums. I think Kiss albums, I believe, Bon Jovi. Let's see, who else?
He's doing his solo stuff now.
Oh, that's cool. I would love to see him, actually.
Yeah. Well, so. I don't know if he's touring, but, I'm reading more about it, yeah.
Well, the touring thing anymore.
I'll listen to him. Well, I'll bring him up next time.
Okay. All right. Well, mine is the first one, let's see, underrated 80s. John Sykes. John Sykes, I think, to me, is the most number one most underrated guitarist of the 80s. He wrote a lot of that slide and in music, Whitesnake, which is just brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
Saints and Sinners of Whitesnake, which was brilliant. And then he wrote the two big hits off of the self-titled Whitesnake album of 1987, I think. The one that went crazy with Tawny Catane on it and all that stuff.
Yeah.
He wrote quite a few of those songs. I forget how many. But all the hits, he had a major influence in, at least, I believe, from what I read. So if I'm wrong on this, I'm sorry, but I'm pretty sure that he's the guy that wrote that. Or wrote part of it. It had a big part of it. But then by the time the album was released, the self-titled album, when Geffen Records took him and brought him over to America with that debut album over here, the Whitesnake self-titled one, John Sykes had already been let go. And I think there's like some bad blood, so he didn't really get any credit either. So he's my number one. I think John Sykes is very underrated. He is a European guitarist too. So you're not getting the finger tapping and all that. You're getting a Ritchie Blackmore, Tony Iommi, something like that, the 70s type of guitar, not the 80s stuff. Always enjoyed his stuff. A lot of feeling, very good player, precise. Then the second one, I think, is Prince. Prince got a lot of accolades, but he never got him on guitar.
Well, okay, well, lately he's been getting the recognition.
Oh, has he? I didn't know.
Well, yeah, anything I read, I mean, think about it. All the music lists I bring,
mm-hmm.
guitars, Prince is on that list.
You know what, Rob?
Think about it.
You know what? You're right. Okay, at the time, he didn't get it.
And you have even agreed.
Yeah, he's a fantastic guitarist, or was.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he was amazing.
He was precise,
forget the pop, the whatever.
The Kiss and all that stuff.
Listen to his guitar. He's amazing. He really is.
Yeah.
Or was.
Yeah, was. Yep. Okay, man, I agree with that 100%.
Okay, hang on. Give me one minute.
Okay, that's cool.
Let me pull it up.
All right, I'm going to make...
I got it.
Okay, cool. I was going to make goat noises. I guess not now. Go ahead.
Hey, we need to start doing the goat.
Yeah, we did. We got to do the goat noise feed. A lot of people want to subscribe.
Just start doing it out of the blue.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Go ahead.
Are you ready?
Yep.
All right. Oh, first off, since you were going through emails.
Mm-hmm.
We have a new listener.
Okay, sounds good to me. We love them.
Kathy from Belton.
All right. Cool.
Okay, you remember when I was doing the call-ins?
Mm-hmm.
You remember I was seeing that gal in Belton?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, we kind of talk. We're just talking, that's it. We're talking, we're still friends. We will always be friends because circumstances, which I told you before the show.
Mm-hmm.
But no, she, here. Let me go into my messages.
Okay.
Give me a minute. We were talking about...
Okay.
She went on a trip to Topeka.
Uh-huh.
And to take a guy, deliver a dog to his son, whatever. But somewhere here, there's a message that says, I just spent 7 hours of my life listening to nothing I care about other than you and a loincloth.
Well, we do have the jigsaw puzzle available. We can give her a special discount, right?
Well, then she listened to last Saturday night when I was camping.
Yeah?
Yeah. We were talking about me being in loincloth in the tent, which I was, seriously.
He was free balling, definitely.
It's hung up iron, worst ironed, everything, yeah. But no, thank you, Kathy.
Yeah, thank you for being a new listener. And Rob is wearing a loincloth right now. He always does whenever he podcasts. Just go with it, Rob. I love your hesitation.
No, tonight, with the heat, the breeze feels good.
Oh, yeah, there you go. all right.
Okay, now let me go back into the other one. All okay. Right. Now we're going to go into Two Douchebags and a Microphone.
Okay.
The 10 stinkiest dog breeds that fart a lot.
Uh-huh.
And this is off A to Z Animals.
Okay.
I'm just going to read them off 10 to 1.
Okay.
First, Yorkshire Terrier.
Oh, yeah. Yappy little fuckers.
Little fucker. Let's see, they up to 7 pounds. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're little yappy little fuckers. Yeah.
Number 9. Doberman Pinschers.
Yeah, but they are warranted. I mean, you know, they bark, they get your attention, and you know not to fuck around, right?
Yeah, but this is about their stinky farts, dude.
Oh, their stinky farts. I misheard you completely.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, no, this is the 10 stinkiest dog breeds that fart a lot.
I apologize. Go ahead. All right, this is even, this is much better. I'm sorry.
Yeah, like I said, I was bringing it back to Two Douchebags and a Microphone.
Sorry, I was proofreading something that I'm going to read probably next podcast tomorrow night. I think I was on drugs.
When I sound distant, that's because I'm proofreading while he's talking.
Yep, I do the same thing.
We do it.
Look, we don't have writers here. Obviously, we suck. No, but anyhow, I'll be proofreading something because sometimes I think I'm on acid when I write this shit, and I come back and read it later. I'm like, oh my God, what the hell was that? Anyhow, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay, yeah. Number 10 was Yorkshire Terrier. Number 9 was Doberman Pinscher.
You know what?
Pit bulls.
Okay, yep.
I've smelled quite a few pit bulls.
Topher has a pit bull, Sammy, and he will stink you out of a room.
I'm surprised this was that low on the list.
Me too, but I also know BJ, remember when he was married? He had a pit bull, or they had a pit bull.
Yeah.
Or not a pit bull, a Doberman, and that guy...
I don't remember when he was married, no.
Oh, okay.
I ain't seen BJ in here.
Okay, Zelda was her name, and she would smoke you out of her room, too. So that is accurate on her account, too. So anyhow, go ahead.
Okay, number 7, Chinese Sharpei.
Don't know that much about him, but I believe it.
I can vouch for one in certain, and I agree with this.
Okay.
My uncle and aunt had one.
Okay.
Yeah. I'd be asleep at night. Yeah. Number 6, Mastiff.
Oh, okay. I can believe that.
Yeah, I did too. My buddy used to raise Mastiffs.
Mm-hmm.
They stink, they drool. But I'll tell you what, they're lovable dogs.
They are.
Okay, number 5, Shucks. I do not agree with this one. Beagles.
Don't have that much experience around them, but I believe you. If you don't think they're that bad, then okay.
Get out of the Beagle sings in bed with me every night. Boss.
And he never stunk you out of the room? Huh. Okay.
And then I had another Beagle for like 13 years. I do not agree with that. Actually, I have one that, I don't know, it should take. Anyway, I'm going to add that one at the end.
Okay.
It's not on here.
Okay.
Okay, number 4, Golden Retrievers.
don't know that about. If it was a black Labrador retriever, I would know something about. But a golden retriever, I love the dogs. They're a very nice, gentle breed. I wouldn't know, would you?
You ain't met my sons. See, here's where I'm at on this.
Okay.
Mine came in fifth. My son has a golden retriever, came in fourth. And I swear to God, that heifer should have took number one. Yeah.
Okay.
That's the one that's ate up all my shit. So, number three. Pugs.
Yes. I have pugs. I've had pugs my whole adult life. Yes. 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 And they sit there and they like to jump on you because that breed was bred in ancient China to keep the emperors warm. They would sit on their lap and keep them warm. So they're a lap dog and they will not, I mean, they will find a way to get on your lap and they will not move. And then they shit all over you. So, yeah. And there's nothing you can do about it. So you just sit there and hold your nose. Agreed.
Okay, now. Number two, boxers.
Yeah, I did know a couple people with boxers, and they did.
Yeah, I know a couple, yeah.
Yeah, they let loose with some of them, yeah. Yep, okay.
And according to this list, number one, English Bulldogs.
Yes, 100%. John, my brother, used to have a Bulldog. My friend Steve had one, Meatball. And both of them would shit you out of the house. I mean, the whole house would have... They were like the shitter guy, the fart guy that I used to work with that used to, like, just stink up a place and there'd be, like, mist. Yeah, they were like him. Yeah. Yeah, yes, I agree. English Bulldog is probably the number one stinkiest dog. Yes. Okay, I think
okay,
that...
Okay, well, like I said, I have one to add to it.
Okay.
Great game.
I don't have that much experience with
it. Well, I grew up with a miniature Great Dane.
Okay.
Dude, me and my dad would be sitting there, and Sir would be laying there asleep, and cut a fart, and grossing me and dad out, and it waked the damn dog up, and he would look at us like, what the hell did you do? No, it was you, dude. You know? Oh, it was nasty. It was nasty. That dog just barked.
I believe. Awesome. Stay tuned for more dog farting. Okay, all right. Let's.
Why not? Why not? That's what we do.
Better than anything else we can come up with, I'm sure. So, okay. I've got something.
You wanted off the wall shit. There you go.
Yep. I've got something to say here that I looked up on the internet for something we were talking about a little bit ago, and then we'll go to our second break. Way late, like usual. Okay. April Wine was formed in Halifax in 1969 and moved to Montreal in early 1970. Original members were...
Now you're talking about April Wine again. Thank you.
Yep. Original members were Miles Goodwin vocals, who was excellent. Lead guitar.
Mm-hmm.
He was both. He was Miles Goodwin's vocals and lead guitar. And he was very good.
Yeah.
Brothers David Henman, guitar and vocals also. And Richie Henman, who was his brother, drums. And cousin Jimmy Henman, who was bass and vocals. They were all vocals except for the drummer. And they were all cousins except for a couple of them. So there you go. Or three of them were cousins and two of them were brothers. All three of them were cousins. And Miles Goodwin, the vocal lead guitarist. So there you go.
Well, that explains it. Yeah. They were all family, so they all grew up playing together. So they knew how to fit it.
Remember when we did our list about bands that should have been bigger and we both had April Wine really low?
Yeah.
I tell you what, they'll never get the credit they deserved. They were so good.
Well, no, actually, I think mine was pretty up on my list. I'd have to go back to it.
No, mine was up on the list, too. April Wine was like three or two. It was way up there, like yours was.
Yeah, I'm telling you, mine been one or two.
Yours might have been one or two. I don't know. So, anyhow, we both had them up high. So, all right, let's take our second break. And we're going to come back with more stuff.
Tomorrow morning, while grinding your coffee beans for your double mocha latte, remember to not get your genitals caught in the grinder. It really hurts. And who can afford plastic surgery? Stay safe, everyone.
Attention. Attention. Columbus, Ohio. You guys rock. Two douchebags and microphones salute you. Thank you for listening.
Hi, all. This is Chicago. I am the most dangerous city in North America. You can't touch me.
Oh, yeah? This is Kansas City here. Hold my beer, bitch.
Hey there, fuckstick. You're just in time for brand new feature news nobody gives a shit about.
A goat farm in Montana has a parrot trained to call the goats in for dinner every night.
Next time you take a dump, listen to Two Douchebags and a Microphone. It's been proven in laboratory rats to relax your anal canal. Get in comfort.
Oh shit. What's that over there?
Oh no. It's the island of horrible jokes.
A panic-stricken man explained to his doctor, "You have to help me. I'm shrinking." The doctor said, "I will. You have to be a little patient."
Remember to go to Cole's dressing room, wait 5 minutes, and scream, "Hey, there's no toilet paper in here!"
Two douchebags and microphone, I'm Mark.
And I'm Rob.
I ran across this cool story. You know, we're always talking about Ozzy and his hijinks and all this stuff. And everybody knows that listen to the show. I love the autobiographies of musicians. Like, I'm on Glenn Hughes' one now, the official autobiography. Very good. Talking about some of their Purple stuff. And let's get ready to go into when he went into Sabbath. I want to hear some of that stuff. His drug abuse, his horrible drug abuse that he had for so many years and all this stuff. So, anyhow, these stories like these interest me, and I hope it interests you too. So anyhow, Ozzy Osbourne recalled how he accidentally called the cops on himself and then faced the challenge of trying to snort a large bowl of cocaine to avoid flushing it away. The story inspired the song It's a Raid on his album Ordinary Man. The incident took place while Black Sabbath were working on their album Volume 4 during the summer of 1972 in a house they'd rented in Bel Air. The band reportedly spent $75,000 on cocaine that year, $15,000 more than it cost to make the LP, Rob. Isn't that something? They spent $15,000 more on cocaine than they did making the album, Volume 4. Osbourne recalled having a pile of coke and a pile of pot on his table during a recent SiriusXM special. "I'm sitting there, great, Bel Air, sun shining, coke in hand, booze," he explained. "I'm thinking, fuck me, I made it here. I'm sitting in this house and it's fucking boiling hot. I see those buttons on the wall and I go, oh, must be the air conditioning. I press the fucking button and in about 5 minutes, four or five cop cars comes screaming down the drive and shouting, 'It's a fucking raid!'" You can watch the interview below. And anyhow, I said that because you can actually watch him talking about. "So me and this roadie, we grab this big bowl of coke and the pot. We go into the bathroom," he continued. I can't fucking throw this away." Osbourne mimicked an act of snorting as much cocaine as he could. The result was he wound up gacked. After being told the cops were gone, his only response was a frozen grin. I had coke coming out of my fucking ears, he recalled. I didn't sleep for 4 days after that. He told us, so I could go on, but you know, you guys got the gist of that. He was trying to reach for the air conditioner button because it was hot, and I guess the air conditioner wasn't on or something. He hits the wrong button. It's a distress call. The cops, five or six cops, come flying in the Bel Air driveway of the mansion that they rented to make Volume 4. And he's like there with his big bowl of cocaine that he didn't want to fucking let go. So he goes into the bathroom and just snorts the piss out of it. And then the cops left. They told him, oh, there's nothing going on, accident. And they didn't even check the house. So there he is, just like he couldn't sleep for 4 days. He was smashed out of his gourd on cocaine. So I thought that story deserved a nice mention. So anyhow, Rob, we turn to you.
Oh, good, because I'm going to go into drugs too.
What the hell? This is awesome.
Well, actually, mine is not a drug anymore.
Oh, okay.
Well, first, ballparks offered hot dogs and pedestrian lagers.
Mm-hmm.
The concessions blossomed with all sorts of nibbles, entrees, and drinks, highlighting local restaurants and craft breweries. Now you go to a ballpark and get high.
Really?
Okay, not every ballpark, but at Walker Stadium in Oregon, where the Portland Pickles play minor league ball.
The Portland Pickles?
This month.
The Portland Pickles?
Yeah, the Portland Pickles.
No wonder they get stoned. I'm going to get smashed and watch the Portland Pickles. Carry on. Sorry.
The team announced this month that through a partnership with Cycling Frog, a dispenser of hemp-deprived THC and CBD products, it would sell seltzer with THC. The team says that it's the first team in sports is selling THC products in a live event. But yeah, it is. Two flavors of Cycling Frog THC light seltzer, passionate fruit and lemon, are available at the stadium. Each can contains 2 milligrams of THC and 4 milligrams of CBD, and are available to those 21 and older.
Very cool. I actually like that idea. I mean, instead of people getting smashed at a ball game and they cutting you off in the seventh inning now, you just sit there and mellow out with some weed. I mean,
which in Oregon it is legal.
Yeah.
Let me read this extra a little bit. The Portland Pickles have a responsibility in the sports industry to take leaps and set precedents of innovative partnerships. As we saw it. Okay, yeah, they're welcome pot in their stadium.
Okay.
They're selling it and drinks.
I love that. I do. I think that's fantastic. Does not bother me in the least. So, awesome.
Well, okay, think about it. Now the pot state coming leave. And this is one of my off-the-wall thoughts that you love.
Okay, let's hear it.
Now the pot's becoming legal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you and I both know, and a lot of people know, everybody's had a pot habit. Well, not everybody. A lot of people have had a pot habit for years.
I've known more people.
And now they're becoming legal. And then you got beer. You know, beer you tend to get upset, get angry, you know what I mean?
And alcoholic characteristics are...
Laze your ass back.
Yes.
Cool, you're calm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To me, that's fantastic. And actually, if you want to get down to it, and Rob, you probably know this too, and I think everyone out there listening would know this too. I know more professional people, as in lawyers, medical industry, all of this, that smoke pot. And the thing is now it's not done underneath everything. Now they can do it openly. But the thing is like I said before on another podcast, you have to make sure what your rules at work are, because a lot of corporations still do not want you testing positive for pot, and they can fire you for it. So make sure how your employment feels about it before you do it. And you know, some of it is just simply if you get hurt, and then you drop positive in the last 12 hours, they could come back and say that was a direct result of you being stoned and deny your claim and fire you. So be careful, guys. Be careful about
right.
it. So,
yeah, you still got to be careful.
Yeah.
You still got to be careful, even though it is illegal.
I know a guy, this is no shit, and hopefully he's listening. I worked with him at a couple of different places, anyhow, he was a finisher. He put finishes on dish tables and stuff like that, and he almost cut his thumb off, and he taped it back on, I mean, like halfway at least, and it was bleeding like a bitch. He got it stopped bleeding. He taped it up really good, and he worked all day, and he goes, man, he goes, I fucking hurt so bad at the end of the day. I go, dude, why didn't you report that? He goes, because I have pot in my system and maybe a couple other things. He said, no, I'm going to the doctor on my own time so I don't get fired. So he worked all fucking day and then went to go get help. I was like, geez. So anyhow, but he got, you know, he didn't get fired. I got a trooper, I can tell you that. So.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to leave that alone.
Okay. You told me. I know. Okay. Krispy Kreme is celebrating America's birthday with a new collection of donuts decorated with red, white, and blue toppings, and of course, a free donut deal. The company's Star Spangled Sweetness collection features three.
We need a Krispy Kreme around here.
Oh, you guys don't have one?
No, there is not a Krispy Kreme around Lake of the Ozarks.
That surprised me because that's a prime area.
You got to buy them at the gas station.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, it's kind of like a White Castle. You buy them in the frozen section. They're not. Yeah, you want them. Yep, you want them fresh. The company's
like Dunkin'. Whatever.
Yeah,
I love donuts.
Dunkin's great too. The company's Star Spangled Sweetness collection features new patriotic donuts in a custom red, white, and blue box, and is available beginning June 21st for a limited time at participating shops. The three flavors in the collection feature two all-new flavors and a returning fan favorite, Krispy Kreme said in a news release. They include fireworks cookies and cream, an unglazed donut filled with cookies and cream, hand-dipped in red icing and decorated with a blue icing swirl and rocket candy piece, cotton candy sparkler donut, an original glazed donut hand-dipped in blue icing and cotton candy sugar and decorated with white and red buttercream dollops. Oh, man. Boy, don't both of them sound fantastic?
Oh, it sounds awesome.
And then, finally, the Freedom Flag Donut, an original glazed donut hand-dipped in white icing and decorated with patriotic red icing stripes and blue and gold sprinkles. So, there you go. Not only can you get free donuts, and you have to look at your participating Krispy Kreme, the one that you go to, because all the deals could be slightly different, is the way it worded. So you probably can get some free donuts. Some of them might be with the app. Some of them might be saying a code word. Some of them might be with a purchase of this or that. But just check into it. You might be able to get some free donuts. So there you go. Anyhow, Rob, you got anything?
Yeah, I got a little story for people with kids and grandkids.
Okay.
Man, hey, if you like him, Maybe you too.
Okay.
The beloved animated classic Shrek is leaving Netflix at the end of July. So it's time for fans to gather their friends, family, and a mountain of snacks for a final viewing party before retreating to your swamps to mourn the loss of your jolly green giant.
Okay.
Well, they're just taking Shrek off.
Yeah, off of Netflix, and he's going somewhere else.
Well, yeah. That's why I said to parents and grandparents, a lot of people go to Netflix. That's why I'm just letting you know, don't go to Netflix. Go to wherever else.
Yeah, so if you want to see the Jolly Green Giant looking crazy looking dude, there you go. Is that all of it?
Yeah, that was all that. I mean, I broke it down real quick.
Okay, I've got if you have the time, Rob, I got another little story here. Do you have the time?
Yeah, do another little story then.
Okay.
Yeah.
Today is
I was in the heat today. I explained. Yeah.
Gotcha. Today
I
is.
I went near my fans at work all day, and it, yeah.
Ooh. Ooh. Today is the day people are threatening to take a dump in the Paris River. Anne Hidalgo was supposed to take a swim in this Paris River today to prove the water is not too polluted for Olympic athletes, and that is the Prime Minister of France. She delayed the dip until...
She said take a dump.
Yes. She was...
I thought you said take a dump.
She did. I'm explaining this, Rob. Today is a day people are threatening to take a dump in the Paris River. So we backtrack a little bit, and we mentioned Anne Hidalgo was supposed to take a swim in the Paris River today to prove the water was not too polluted for Olympic athletes. She delayed the dip until after the French elections in July, which prompted the activists to threaten to all take dumps in the Paris River today. I don't know if they did or not. I haven't checked up on the story, but they're supposed to all go take a crap in the Paris River, which would pollute it even more, which is why they're demonstrating.
You did say D-U-M-P.
Yes, I said dump. Yes.
I thought you were saying D-U-N-K, dump.
No, and
he'll... And then going swimming. But then my mind went to dump. And I was right the whole time. Cool.
Yeah, you were. So she's a prime minister of France. She said that she was going to swim in the Paris River to prove it was not too polluted. The activists said, okay, go ahead and do it. And then she postponed it till after the elections in July, and they all cried foul, and they're threatening to take a dump in the Paris River, all of them, today. And I don't know if they did or not. I'll have to look up. So, anyhow, that's all I have. You got anything, Rob?
That's about all I have for that, brother.
All right. Thank you for joining us, everybody. And thank you, Rob. Have a good night, assholes.
Good night, assholes.
Oh, no. Looks like the show's over, kids. Mark has explosive diarrhea and can't afford a wireless mic. Fear not, assholes. They'll be back invading your ear holes soon.